Katie, who was 7 months along with twins of her own, had stayed back in New York. She planned a welcome home dinner for her parents that was never to be. But on that bracing last day of the year, Ross McLeod felt as fit and joyful as the boy he'd been. He wondered at the quick shiver down his spine, at the crows circling and calling over the stone circle. But even as he shook it away, the cock pheasant, a flurry of color against the pale sky, rose in flight. He lifted the 12-gauge his uncle had given him for his 16th birthday, followed the bird's flight. It might be that the heel of the hand he'd scraped more than 50 years before stung for an instant, throbbed an instant more. But still, he pulled the trigger. When the shot blasted the air, the crows screamed, but didn't scatter. Instead, one broke away as if to snatch the kill. One of the men laughed as the darting blackbird collided with the falling pheasant. The dead bird struck the center of the stone circle, its blood smeared over the frosted ground. Rob clamped a hand on Ross's shoulder, and the three men grinned as one of Hugh's cheerful labs raced off to retrieve the bird.
"Did you see that crazy crow?"
Shaking his head, Ross laughed again.
"He won't be having a pheasant for dinner." "But we will," Hugh said. "That's three for each, enough for a feast."
The men gathered their birds, and Rob pulled a selfie stick out of his pocket.
"Always prepared."
So they posed, three men with cheeks ruddy from the cold, all with eyes a sparkling McLeod blue, before making the pleasant hike back to the farmhouse. Behind them, the bird's blood, as if heated by flame, soaked through the frozen ground and pulsed as the shield thinned, cracked. They trooped, successful hunters, past fields of winter barley stirring in the light wind and sheep grazing on a hillock. One of the cows Hugh kept for fattening and finishing lowed lazily. As they walked, Ross, a contented man, thought himself blessed to end one year and start another on the farm with those he loved. Smoke puffed from the chimneys in the sturdy stone house. As they approached, the dogs, their workday done, raced ahead to wrestle and play. The men, knowing the ropes, veered off toward a small shed. Hugh's Millie, a farmer's wife and a farmer's daughter, drew a hard line at cleaning game. So, on a bench Hugh had built for that purpose, they set up to do the job themselves. They talked idly of the hunt, of the meal to come, as Ross took a pair of the sharp shears to cut the wings off the pheasant. He cleaned it as his uncle had taught him, cutting close to the body. There were parts that would be used for soup, and those went into a thick plastic bag for the kitchen, other parts into another bag for disposal. Rob lifted a severed head, made squawking noises. Despite himself, Ross laughed, glancing over. He nicked his thumb on a broken bone. He muttered, "Shit," and used his index finger to staunch the trickle of blood.
"You know to watch for that," Hugh said with a tisk. "Yeah, yeah, blame it on goofball here."
As he peeled back the skin, the bird's blood mixed with his. Once the job was done, they washed the cleaned birds in icy water pumped from the well, then carried them into the house through the kitchen. The women were gathered in the big farm kitchen, with air rich from the scents of baking and warmth from the fire simmering in the hearth. It all struck Ross as so homey, a perfect tableau. It tugged at his heart. He laid his birds on the wide kitchen counter and grabbed his wife in a circling hug that made her laugh.
"The return of the hunters."
Angie gave him a quick, smacking kiss. Hugh's Millie, her curly red mop bundled on top of her head, gave the pile of birds an approving nod.
"Enough to roast for our feast and more to serve at the party. How about we do some pheasant and walnut pasties there? You're fond of 'em, I recall, Robbie."
He grinned, patting the belly that pudged over his belt.
"Maybe I need to go out and bag a few more so there'll be some for everyone else."
Rob's wife, Jane, drilled a finger into his belly.
"Since you're going to make a pig of yourself, we're going to put you to work."
"That we are," Millie agreed. "Hugh, you and the lads haul out the long table into the big parlor for the party and use my mother's long lace cloth. I want the good candle stands on it as well, and get the extra chairs from the closet and set them out.
Wherever we set them, you'll..."